Welcome to the Propagandist Podcast, confusion to our enemies.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Narvey. I'm the editor of the Propagandist magazine. I'm here with Andrew Potter, the managing editor of the Ottawa Citizen. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm really good. So, we're going to have a little discussion about the trouble with too much democracy. This is a column that you wrote for Maclean's magazine. And maybe you could introduce what you were trying to get at with this.
Yeah. It begins with the idea that, I mean, everyone kind of has this view that you know, checks and balances are an excellent part of democracy, right? So you get this sort of almost fetishization of the idea that a proper constitutional regime is one that's made up of checks and balances. We teach this in our schools, right, that there are the three. There's a legislative power, the executive power, the judicial power, and they're all separated out, right? And that becomes sort of this normative view we have of how democracy ought to function. And what I sort of do is sort of use that very American understanding of how, you know, a constitution works and sort of filter it through what's going on right now in the United States, what's been going on for the last year or so with them trying to settle the debt ceiling issue to trying to, you know, deal with taxes and all the various problems that are afflicting American democracy, and point out that there have been a whole lot of columns written about, you know, the American people getting mad, you know, telling, like, the politicians, enough with the shenanigans, get on with it and get things done. And what I think sort of is getting lost in all this, sort of looking at it as a Canadian, observing the Americans in action, right, is what people are sort of missing is that the Constitution of the United States is working exactly as it's designed to do. Which is, say, everyone's sort of complaining about what's going on, and they're basically complaining about the proper functioning of their government. So the idea is, look, this is what you guys put your constitution together to do, which is to keep the government from doing things. That's exactly what their constitution is designed to do. It's to prevent executive government from having any sort of firm hand on the tiller. So the extent to which we understand democracy as, you know, a whole bunch of voices engaging in this battle and struggle and tug of war for power, well, you know, sometimes there can be too much of it. So the upshot of it all is, sort of belaboring the point here, but the upshot of it is that while it's true that we might think that too much executive power, that is, too much, like, the king or what have you, can be a threat to sort of self-government. At the same time, a government that can do too little can be just as big a threat to democratic self-rule.
Well, I see your point, and, you know, certainly we've seen over the last couple of months, I think at least three major examples of brinksmanship by the Republicans over budget bills. And, you know, yes, to an extent, this is sort of the way it was designed, and what can you do? And yet, did we see this kind of intransigence, this kind of lack of cooperation before? Because it seems to me, you know, maybe this is something new, that maybe it didn't necessarily need to be this way. It is more about the people involved.
We could probably fight a bit about it. The U.S. government did get shut down in the early 90s, right? And that was, what's his name, Newt Gingrich and his crowd came in and did. They were basically the Tea Party of their time, came in and did all this stuff, shut government down. And then they got blamed for it, right? Which is why a lot of old-school Republicans are very anxious about what the Tea Party people are doing, because they know that when they did this in 1994, they got blamed for it, and Clinton, you know, roared back to power in 96. So to the extent to which the U.S. government not doing anything about it or getting into gridlock is new, no, I don't think this is certainly not a new thing. This is a long-standing facet of their government. Are there personalities involved that, aren't really, that are making things worse? Absolutely. Is this an exceptional time? Yes, largely because the Tea Party has actually gone insane. And I think the Republican Party in general has actually gone insane. But the question, but what I would sort of point out is that, sort of supposed virtues of the American Constitution, going back, if you read through, I think it's Federalist 10, I can't remember which exact one, it's in the Federalist Papers, one of the virtues is that the Constitution is designed to operate on the assumption that everyone in power is an ass. Unlike the Canadian or British system, which relies on a certain amount of goodwill and trust because of the amount of leeway the executive has, the American system was designed to operate on the assumption that everyone involved is a complete knave. Yet, I think what we're seeing here is simply the upshot of a system that is designed not to work, I think, which is why I bring up the idea of political decay, which is something I just stole a whole hog from Francis Fukuyama's new book. He sort of reintroduced this way of talking or vocabulary. And so what I want to do is step back and say, this isn't really about the Tea Party versus Obama right now. This is about an American system that is increasingly rusty increasingly incapable of fixing anything that's there. So the tax problems, the healthcare problem. I mean, this is. I think I would say that the Tea Party issue is just sort of a political froth on top of what is an underlying structural problem.
Huh. Well, you don't sound too optimistic that the Americans are going to be able to solve their major problems, and they do have major problems, whether we're talking about the debt or the wars. You don't seem to be optimistic that this system is going to be able to work for them, at least in the near future. And yet, you know, what's the alternative? You did mention Thomas Friedman talking about China's political system. I'm sure you're not talking about the U.S. moving to that kind of system. But even
That was sort of maybe a tactical mistake within the column, because it kind of got misunderstood by a few people. Of course, this kind of saying these kinds of things about the American system requires a certain amount of humility, because so many people have called it out so many times, right? And America has always sort of managed to right itself to a certain extent. What I would say is that America, there's sort of almost two kinds of American government working right now. There's the very strong executive that sort of pulled power to itself after 9/11, that managed to get a whole lot of stuff done on the foreign policy side and the foreign affairs front, right, without having to sort of deal with Congress in a lot of ways. And I think it's almost unfortunate that while they were drawing all this power into the executive for foreign adventures, they weren't drawing the same kinds of power to itself with respect to the domestic agenda. Because I think if there was an increasingly, I would call it sort of parliamentarized feature of their constitution, to the point where the president would sort of control Congress in the way a prime minister controls the House, you see the United States able to sort of push through the things that need to be done in a much quicker way.
I just want to stop you there for a second. Sorry, Andrew. I just want to stop you there for a second, because some would say that the Canadian system is absolutely not working for them. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah, sure.
In that, you know, you had that incident with the Senate page talking about how following the election of a majority government of the Conservatives in the last Canadian election, and she's talking about how now Canada needs its own Arab Spring and democracy is broken in Canada. And look, you know, for the next couple of years, the opposition can't do anything. The majority government can run roughshod over the opposition and do anything it wants.
Yeah.
So what, you know, is that really viable that we could move to that kind of system with the United States?
What a lot of people see as a flaw in the Canadian system, I see as a virtue. I think why have a government if the government can't do, you know, what it wants to do? I mean, isn't that the whole point of having a government? I mean, isn't that the essence of democratic self-rule, that you collectively come to a decision about what needs to be done, and then you sort of elect people who do it. It's not to say that, you know, everyone has to like everything the government does, but, I mean, it's really weird. In fact, in the Ottawa Citizen tomorrow, we've got two columns, one by Dan Gardner, another one by, I think, Susan Riley, both of which are saying Canadian democracy is on the ropes, along sort of for the reasons you say. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that people were saying that the Canadian system was broken because of the minority parliament we had. The minority had achieved gridlock, that there was, you know, there was all kinds of problems with the way that system was working. And it seems like no one's ever happy, right? I mean, back when Kretschmer was running, Jeffrey Simpson wrote a book that showed Kretschmer, you know, looking like, mocked up to look like Pinochet. So I think people just like complain, to be honest, and about government. And I think a lot of what is passing as complaints about the Canadian system is just complaints about Stephen Harper. You know, and I don't love a lot of what he's doing, but I think it's a sign that democracy is broken. I think it's a sign that the system that we elected a government that a lot of people don't like. Well, you know, tough doodles. So, you know, I don't. I guess what I would go back to is just this line that I steal from Fukuyama, and a lot of that column is just sort of riffing off. I just read Fukuyama's book, and he's got this line where he says that there are two ways that society can go wrong. One, you have a government that does too much, and the other is you have a government that can do too little. And if the Achilles heel of the Canadian system is that a strong majority can perhaps do too much, the Achilles heel of the American one is it can too often do too little. Is there a happy medium in there to be split? I don't know.
You've been listening to the Propagandist Podcast. For more great content, go to the Propagandist Magazine at www.propagandistmag.com.